I want to preach tonight out of the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. We're going to read verses 1 through 6, and our text will be out of verse 6. Amen. Brother Durth will read our text first, and then we'll show the picture, okay? Thank you. Let's stand tonight for the reading of the Word. When we finish reading our text and we pray over the remaining of this service, let's also lift up our pastor and his family. Lord willing, they'll be back this week, and pray that God would give them traveling mercies and just, amen, a fresh touch. I don't know about you, but I like it when I feel like Brother Hurst and Sister Hurst are feeling good. When they feel good, we get blessed. Amen. And I know we get blessed even when they don't feel good, because that's just, they're great pastors. But I like it, and I like to know that our pastors are feeling good. And so I just appreciate them tonight. I want to say before we read our text, thank you so much for the offering and just for the kind words of Brother Maggard and your love for our mom. I don't often talk about my mom, and that is not for lack of love or even forgetfulness. It's just that she was in so much of every part of my life in this church that I oftentimes look around and I just see fingerprints of the things that she was involved in. And so I believe, just as what we preached this morning, the greatest testimony is that a church continues, is that a family continues, is that the next generation picks up where the former generation has left off. And so, thank you. That's what I want to say. Thank you. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and His faithfulness to us. I've just got a text, and I want to confirm this is for Saturday. We are going to have an ice cream social for men's night, and we want you to bring your wives, men, okay? Bring your wives. Is that children as well, or just everybody's welcome? Okay, bring your families, bring your wives, bring your kids, and we'll have a great time of fellowship at family night this Saturday at 5:30, men's night. And you know, men, our families are our number one ministry. Amen. Our church will end when our families cease to be our ministry. But if our families are built up and our homes are built up, you can be rest assured the church is going to be a strong, healthy church. So that's Saturday at 5:30. Amen. Let's read the Word tonight. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away, and they went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Notice that. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. This is the men. These are his mighty men. These are the guys that are listening to David. They spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. Oh, think about that. The soul of all the people was grieved. every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Brother Durth, if you want to go ahead and show that picture. Amen. You ever felt like that? I'd like to preach tonight on defeating discouragement. Defeating discouragement. Sometimes, it doesn't matter how old or how young, you get to the place in your life where you have felt like that before. Man, she's cute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Pray that you administer to our hearts tonight. Come to your people, Lord. You know what we have need of tonight. You know every heart, every family. God, you know what we're up against, Father, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we thank you for that. We praise you also for the pastors that you've given us. Thank you for Brother and Sister Hurst and their family. Be with them this week. Bless them and keep them safe as they head home. Minister to them. God, lift them up, Jesus. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. The church said amen. Amen. Thank you for whoever brought the water. Anybody felt like this before? This just happened to be a good picture. She was not even mad. She had just established finding her voice. And so she was screaming hallelujah. And anyway, we can get beyond that. I have felt like this before. I have. Discouragement has at one point or another hit every one of us. If we have spent any time upon this earth, from a child on up, there have been moments in our lives where we have felt discouraged. If we could, let's turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 55. The book of Psalms, chapter 55. Verse 1 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Anybody been there? "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." There are moments in every believer's life, moments in fathers' lives or wives, mothers. There's moments in children where we feel so completely overwhelmed because of the circumstances that we are in, because of our surroundings, because of the midst of trial, or because of the homes that we are a part of, that we have felt times of discouragement, times when our hearts are broken, our attitudes are in the dumps. We can't seem to make it out or get back to where we wish to be. Maybe it's been a while for you that you have been in a state of discouragement, a continual pain that seems to have no end, a darkness that cannot be broken. Listen, church, it is a real thing for folks to be discouraged. You know, just because we don't see the effects on the outside does not mean it is not making havoc upon the inside. You can merely look at the suicide statistics that we see today and know that there are folks all around us who are hurting and are hurting deep inside.
Discouragement is a real issue. There are folks that have been hurt as children, and that pain and that discouragement has stayed with them throughout their adult life. It has scarred and marked them. They seem to literally be in a prison in their mind because of the pain that has been inflicted upon them. Discouragement is a real thing. We see it every day, folks who just wish that they could have a happy life. So I'm going to take another pill. I'm going to take another physical substance that is going to try and minister to my emotional needs. Amen. Our emotions are real. I hope this morning that you were not confused into believing or that I was clear in stating that just because we have an emotional response doesn't mean we don't have a real response. I believe God ministers to our emotions. I am thankful for that, because in the midst of discouragement, He is our joy. In the midst of heartache, He is our peace. I am glad that God ministers to the inner man. Amen. The inner part of our being. I've been discouraged before. I've been brokenhearted, and so have you. How do we get beyond that discouragement, though? There's some that have been seemingly doing great, and then a cross word has been spoken to them, and it has shattered them inside. There's folks that have been, that are men that have worked a job 10, 20 years, and then only to come into work and find a pink slip in their locker, and discouragement set in, and that torment of maybe not being good enough, or how am I going to provide for my family? Discouragement is a real thing. The enemy works in discouragement. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And I believe the mental and emotional effects that the enemy wreaks in the lives of people every day is real. There's children that cry themselves to sleep at night. There's adults that still do the same thing. Amen. There's young people that are crying out for someone to give them some meaning in life, some sense of encouragement. You know, I believe it was Mark Twain that said he could go a year on a good word. I believe that God has instilled it in the life of every believer that if we live long enough in this life, I know we will face storms, but the reaction or the facing of discouragement must come in the mindset that only God can truly satisfy our souls. Only Christ can really make a difference in our hearts. It is not for wanting to, or not for a lack of trying, that this generation desires to be changed. I firmly believe that this generation that we are seeing today is so desperate for the truth, so longing for someone to give instruction, correction, discipline, someone to tell them that they're doing it the right way. You can only go so long being told that you're worthless, being told that you're a mistake, being told that you're an accident, being told that you won't amount to anything until you start to believe it. But those lies have generated from the father of lies, the enemy. You know that God has never one time in His Word spoken that a child of God was a mistake. God wants us to know tonight He has made us with a purpose. We are called to be His children. And because of that, the abundant life that He promised is for you and I. Hallelujah. The discouragement of loss can destroy a life. The destruction that follows is a real pain. David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for I would fly away and be at rest." I know there are folks under the sound of my voice that the thought has crossed your mind, if I could just get away from here, everything would be different. If I could just get away from the responsibility, if I could just get away from my family, if I could get away from the pain, it would be different. But know this, had David gotten away, he would have still been the same man. You can only run from the pain long enough until it catches up to you. We must come to the reality that you and I will never be complete without Christ. You cannot mask it long enough. You cannot fake the smile long enough. You cannot live a double life long enough for it to satisfy you. At some point, the reality of pain will come to bear its ugly face. And we will have to understand that in that moment, there is only one decision to make. What will I do to defeat this discouragement? I mean, here is a man and a host of men who have been fighting a war, and in the midst of defending their family, the enemy has snuck in the back and stolen away all of them. Now, that would be discouraging. Any man, any husband, any father that feels any sense of responsibility would have to understand how these men felt. To get home only to find that your family has been taken. But I didn't read this, but later on, if you study out this story, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to point out this point, and then we'll get back to it here in a little bit. David did not sit in his despair. He did not dwell on it. He didn't fester it. He didn't just, you know what I'm saying? David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Bible says he called for the high priest. And he said, get the ephod and bring it to me. And he began to pray. And he inquired of the Lord, what do I do now? I want to tell our church, Facebook is not where you're going to find your answers. If ever we've needed to unplug the keyboard and throw it away, I am so sick of seeing everybody's sadness in the church, everybody's depression, everybody needing a pat on the back. Since when have we ever needed somebody else to take us closer to God? God is our answer. And we must, as the church of God, remember that we are not required to be the one to bear up and hold up and make sure everybody else gets what they... God wants us to get ourselves to where He's at. Amen. I know we need to encourage each other. Church, don't take me out of context. I appreciate friends that can put an arm around you and say, listen, I'm praying for you. Amen. I've had somebody do that this week. It lifted me up. I know that God knows we need each other. But when all we are doing is having a platform to speak nothing but negativity and complaining and destruction, all that does is tell a world out there there ain't a single difference in the church house. If we don't have the answer, then why should they come here? Amen. God has given us the answers to life. God has given us the direction for life. And if I am the only one out there that is saying that God, well, he must not be helping that person because all they've got in their life is worseness and negativity. And hey, listen, God wants to lift us up, church. Anybody ever been driving down the road and you've been discouraged and all of a sudden a song comes on the radio? Oh, the Spirit of God fall in that car. Hallelujah. Amen. And all at once, when you were discouraged, you can leave that car encouraged. Amen. You know that God knew right where you were at. Amen. He knew what you needed, and he came by because he's faithful. Church, we just need to remember that our answers are not going to come from the world or from somebody else out there. It's going to come from Jesus Christ and him only. Hallelujah. It's understandable to be discouraged. The difference is, what do you do when the discouragement comes? I'll tell you something, the world doesn't have the answers. You're not going to fix you with a physical pill in an emotional state. Now, I understand that there's chemical imbalances. Please don't get me wrong, okay? I understand. But there's a lot of folks out there that have been given drugs to fix a spiritual problem. Amen. Let's just move on. David said, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest.
How do we get beyond discouragement, church? What do we do? What do we do when we don't feel like doing anything spiritual? What do we do when it is a storm in our lives? I mean, you can't argue with folks that haven't had electric in the 100-degree heat that they're not miserable, right? I mean, it's real easy to say, well, hey, you'll be all right when the AC's on. But when you haven't had air conditioning and it's 102, Brother Kevin, that makes a big difference. And people's lives all around us, it's easy for us to say, well, just get yourself up and get going. You'll be all right. But what do you really do? I believe David set the pattern. The first thing that he did was he encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't wait for somebody to come and pat him on the back and tell him everything was going to be okay, because in that moment, there was nobody. They were serious. We're about to stone you. You're the one that led us out. You're the one that was leading us in battle and left our families unsafe or insecure. You're in charge. You're responsible. We're about to stone you. That's a real fear, right? I mean, come on, folks. If somebody's telling you they're about to kill you, you're not just going to be like, all right, everything's going great. Hey, man, that's a real fear. And yet David stopped everything, and he said, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I've told this story before, but there's folks here that haven't heard it. I was working for Five Rivers Metro Parks, and I spoke about that this morning. But I was out bush hogging a field one day. It was just me and the rabbits and whatever animals could hear me as I was out there on a big old John Deere. And, man, I was low, just emotionally and spiritually, and I felt dry, and you know what I'm talking about. And I remember as I was out there mowing, the song came to me, It Is Well. And I don't remember, Sister Dearth, if we had sang that in choir. I think we had a few days before that. And I was out there, and that song came to me. And I figured, Brother Burr, I'm the only guy out here in this field. So I might as well sing like I'm the only guy out here in the field. Come on, y'all do it too. Don't even act like you don't sing loud and somebody ain't hearing you. Amen. And I got to singing that. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast caused me to say, it is well with my soul. I'm telling you what, by the time I got to him coming back, and then the verse talking about him returning, I had to stop mowing. I know that it's not good to not do your job, but I was about to start doing curves anyway because I had so many tears in my eyes. I couldn't see straight, so I'm pretty sure they would have been more preference to me just stop. But I had to take me some time and just worship God in the middle of a field. Because in that moment, Brother Brad, he revived my soul. I had no other friend around me. I had no one to tell me, well, you're doing fine, Brian. I knew where I was at spiritually, and I knew that only God could do it. Now, the amazing part is this. Just as much as we say, well, you don't need somebody else to be the one to do it, you do need God. And he's willing to do it. He wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. He wants his children to live a life that is abundant and free. Hallelujah. He wants it. I appreciate those moments when God ministers to us, and I'm going to hurry. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he pursued after God in his hard time. Book of Psalms, chapter 28, verse 1 says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard my voice, the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Hallelujah. Save thy people,
and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. You know what David did? David sang a song of praise. Listen, I believe that God has given men and women an anointing to write lyrics that speak to the heart of man. Now, there's sometimes maybe you can't find a song like we sang tonight, that maybe you didn't ever hear that song the choir sang tonight. I've sang that song before when I've been down, and it's ministered to me. But you know what you can do? You can sing the Psalms. Isn't it amazing how good you start to feel when you hear about God blessing His anointed, keeping His hand upon His children, amen, giving inheritance to those who ask, amen? Isn't it amazing how quickly our perspective changes when our eyes get off of us and get onto the Master? God is who we need to satisfy and defeat the discouragement of our hearts. And then lastly, we need to testify. Amen. We need to testify. You know, there are times in our lives that things just don't go our way. And that's fine. Everything doesn't have to go our way. But it is amazing to me how many times God moves in our lives and yet we don't say anything. That's true. Because of fear of what we may sound like, or maybe it's not our disposition. I know everybody's not like me, thank God. We wouldn't hear anything, all right? We'd just be talking all the time. So I understand that, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. God has done miraculous things in our hearts, in our church, in our families. It's time to testify. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's in the future, but somebody ought to shout off that. One of these days, the enemy is going to be cast down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. I want to ask tonight, this is out of the norm, and this may get a little dangerous, but maybe tonight you just need to testify about what God has been doing in your life. I am amazed at how many times that God has done a work in my life and I just forget to testify. Things start happening in a service and maybe we don't get the opportunity, and then it's been 3 months and I never said a word. I want to tell you something though. In the 4 years that God, or that Sarah and I have been married, almost 4 years now, God has done miraculous things in our home. There have been moments when financially we were about as rock bottom as you can be. We came to the altar and prayed. And on the same night, two different individuals came to us and said, God spoke to us to give this to you. They never knew the situation. They had no idea. I don't want to speak evangelistically, but I think we had a little over $100 in our bank account. And we were about to start heading into the bill week. You know what I'm talking about. And yet God providentially spoke, not just one time, but to two different individuals, and it literally came in the right moment at the right time, and God showed himself. Why? Because he's a faithful God. There have been moments when we have been sick in body. Folks have come to this church afflicted, had no strength, and yet they were faithful to the house of God, and he came by and he healed them and he touched them. Why? Because God is faithful. We look around across a congregation of people that God has kept his hand on in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of heartache, and you're here today because God has ministered to you. We can get discouraged, but if we would just get our eyes focused upon the King of Kings tonight, we might just march out of that discouraging valley.
There's two things that we need to understand before we come pray tonight. If you're discouraged because of sin in your life, that can only be taken away by repentance and trust in God. And he'll do that. He will. There's times, as I've prayed this before for my friends that are not saved. God, make them miserable in their sin. Because there's some folks that just, they don't get it until they understand. They hit rock bottom. There's no other thing than looking up. So if tonight, if you're not saved, that's the place you need to start. Because you're not going to get any more encouragement than finding salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest encouragement your soul will ever experience. But tonight, if you're a believer, I want you to know that God wants us to be encouraged tonight. And I really believe this. If there is anything in our hearts that we need to take care of, confess it to God, put it under the blood, and go on. Live in freedom. Hallelujah. And then if there's something that maybe you just need to testify, but you know what might be the best thing? Let's have some Facebook testimonies. It rocks some folks' world if somebody got on there, some of us negative Nancys, and started testifying about what God was doing. Your friends might not know what happened to you. Amen. Amen. Let's just testify. Find a friend. Find a family member. Maybe come to church Wednesday night with a testimony burning on your heart and tell what God is doing in your life. Amen. And tonight, we're going to do the main thing. Let's run to Christ. Let's just come to where he's at and ask him just to minister to our hearts. I didn't read it. I forgot to read it. And the Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Yet in all points, he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. God knows what we're facing tonight. Let's come to Christ. Amen. As the music, go ahead and come. And church, let's come. Find a place to pray. God knows what you need tonight. Be encouraged, church. He's still God on the mountain, and he's God in the valley. Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Leave encouraged tonight, church. God is on your side. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us?